Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You need to face your giants with these truths. And this unfair battle that happens throughout men's history puts you in a place you realize, God, you can use this overwhelming circumstance for your glory.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Do you remember this story of David? Now, the last couple of messages has been the start of, which will continue, the life of David. This real-life drama with spiritual life applications. In the introduction, very simply, there's no greater story that's recognized by more people than this really ancient Polaroid moment. The narrative is familiar, but really no less fascinating and factual. And I don't want you to get lost in the familiarity of the story, but I do believe there are four powerful life lessons. As I read the passage, it's pretty factual about all the events that took place, and it's kind of straight up. But why did God put that in Scripture? Among other things, it's for our learning. What can we learn from that? Just the facts that, you know, this has happened and this young boy took care of this big guy and there you go. The fact is that for you and I today, when you look at God's Word, there are principles that you can draw from. Truths, as I would look at as Davidic dynamics. What do you end up learning from all of this? And make some observations. Maybe they help really life lessons. Number one, you'll end up finding very simply that obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict. David was right in the center of God's will. God had said through his own father, David, I want you to get out there, check on your three brothers. They're out in the battle. He brings them food. And David finds himself now moving in obedience, but out of that obedience, he finds greater and greater conflict. If we stop there, it could be depressing. But you realize that second observation as we look at the life of David on this polarized moment, you find number two, that it's not the size of our enemy or our problem. It's the size of our weapon that God says is where the focus is. Because you end up looking at the passage, you realize that David ended up having this huge enemy. And he is a perfect illustration in that day in which it was reality. You had a whole army for 40 days, this has been going on, of someone that was saying, I'm opposed to your God. Now, I would say to you, the simple applications for you and I, there is regular Goliaths that go on in our own life. And there is a whole world that is totally opposite what you as a Christian would stand for. And you can't end up trying to come along and buddy up to a Goliath. They are not wanting what you have to offer. God loves to take the biggest enemy and take the smallest thing he has possible and use to defy man's logic. Many times, what is so logical becomes so untheological. I mean, what logic is there to take the 16-year-old kid and say, listen, here's this sling, and you go out and you kill that guy? And as obvious as that may be, that's so often the case when you need to find it. That God himself takes our own weakness in our own small parts we have to offer. And God says, I will use you. You are a nobody, but you can become my somebody. If you would be in a place to step out in obedience and do what I've asked you to do. Notice number three, not only the fact that obedience to God could lead you into greater conflict, and it's not the size of our enemy, but the size of our weapon, but you also find in verse 29 that David made some powerful statements among them in verse 29 when David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He turned, verse 30, to another person, spake after the same manner, and those people answered him and said, and the former, do not live for a cause, but the cause. You end up finding David expressing it in Psalms 29. You end up finding in Colossians 1:18, Paul said that he might have the preeminence. You see, David started asking hard questions, and his future confidence was coming from those past victories. Because David realized, even as he said that in a statement, that as he went on to tell Saul in the privacy of that tent, listen, here's what happened in the past. I took care of this lion, this bear. I can certainly do this with this big galoot. Well, that's not says in Hebrew there, but that's what he's saying. Hey, you know what? Why should I end up fearing about this guy? I'm living for the cause of Almighty God. And it was driving David to do what he was doing that many times was illogical, stepping out of the crowd. You're different. And God was saying, listen, David, you step out by faith. I'll use you. You're not working for a cause, but the cause, my cause. And I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter what particular vocation you're in. If you're living for the cause of Christ, it's not just your purpose driven. Paul said it, you're a person driven by a person, a living Christ. Why did God use David in this passage? And what happened out of all this? It's very simply, God took somebody, as it was with David. And you know what David did? David not only killed the Goliath, but David solved a problem. And the nation had a problem. You know what the problem was? This guy is not just wanting to kill us and take over our properties, but he's defying our God. And every time you step out and you want to take on new leadership, you know the quickest way to gain leadership? As David gained leadership, as we end up finding over the passages to come, he gained leadership because he solved a problem. God's way. If you understand all of that, let me close with this fourth life lesson. Really, a Davidic dynamic that will influence your life. And number four, notice that your obedience can encourage others in the future. Because upon David's obedience and the slaying of the Goliath, David prevailed over the Philistine. Philip Keller, who explains it this way, with a rush, like a leopard leaping to the attack, David launched himself on that hill towards Goliath. The sling whistled ominously as he whirled it over his head. Then the thong was released. The stone struck. The next instant, that giant crashed down the slope, face forward. The blood spurted from that skull, shattered by the rock. It was as if he had been struck by a bullet. David rushed up to that prostrate form as Goliath's armor bearer fled in panic. Picking up that giant's massive sword, he severed his head. In triumph, David stood upon that huge hulk. The battle was over. The daring deed was done. It was an instant of intense elation for all Israel. And what all of Saul's military might have been unable to achieve, a single shepherd had done with the simple faith in God. And on that basis, David now rallies this whole army, and you end up finding him now in verse 52. The men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, verse 52. And they came to the valley and the gates of Ekron, and you end up finding them pursuing them, and they end up winning a great victory because David's obedience encouraged others. And that is why you end up finding in Psalms 31 and later in Hebrews 11:32 that it mentions out of those living by faith that David was the illustration among his life. And in this moment, David is now catapulted to a whole nother level of usability and service. And he now, for us today, years later, find ourselves motivated to realize that God, if you did that for a young shepherd, would you not do that for us? David, that snapshot of that shepherd's victory, that's a small sampling of David's greatness through humility. Have you faced your Goliath of fear? What Goliath are you facing? Those issues that you have in your life. Is it much different from God's eternal providence to see you as he did on the very day that he knew was going to unfold with David? In God's own eternality, knowing he's not held by time or space or matter, and knew that some 2,500 years later that God would end up finding you and where you are. Whatever Goliath, whatever trial, whatever size of a difficulty you're facing, whether related to your family, your children, your business, your finances, whatever that looms out there on the other side of the valley and Satan's using to yell at you and getting you discouraged. Maybe it's some coworker that just laughs at you because you are a Christian. And you are doing what? Reading your Bible? That God says, is it any different for me to show myself mighty, because the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. Let me deal with it. How often it is that we end up taking our little swords and we're going to fight these big giant battles, and God says, would put down the sword. If anything, you pick up your little stone, and I'll use that in a greater way that only I will get glory. And you find yourself in a place to say, God, I want you to get the glory. I'll give other people credit. I know someday I'll get the reward. That's how God operates. And it is no different, you find all through Scripture. We look at the portrait of not a body of a David that's dead and gone and in a tomb there in Jerusalem. But for us to be able to realize, God, there are ideals, there are lessons that you and I need to learn today. And I don't care what Goliath-sized problem you've got, only Christ can overcome it through you. You might be here today and say, you know what, this is a good little story, and thank you for the Sunday school lesson, but I've never met Christ personally. And one other reason why David himself elevated and stated more by name than any other Bible character, David himself, whose very name means beloved, that Jesus Christ sent his only begotten beloved Son. As an illustration of David and who he was in his time period, was the foreshadowing for our own Son of God to come to this earth as a humble Son of God, as a shepherd, and came to shepherd us as sheep. And he proved that, his value and worth, by putting his life on the cross, shed that blood for you and I today. The only way you will ever have a victory over death and sin is found in the life of Christ, by admitting your own sin and realizing that you cannot do it on your own, and it's got to find itself in the life of Christ. It's by grace through faith alone. It's not yourselves. It's a gift of God. How do I get a gift? By saying there's a gift, and no, by saying thank you. I'll receive that by faith. And when you do that, you put yourself in a place now to realize that God, you can empower me, and you will, and he will today. Let me ask you to take a moment, and you ponder, and you muse over these simple truths that become great illustrations for you and I today. That real life drama with spiritual life application. You need to face your giants with these truths. And this unfair battle that happens throughout men's history puts you in a place to realize, God, you can use this overwhelming circumstance for your glory. As a Christian, you can call God your Father, because he genuinely is your Father, because you can remember a time and a place you've given your life to Christ. You're born into his family by the sacrifice of his own firstborn son. You might be here today and you know you'd have no settledness of your eternity, because there's never been a point in time that you've given your life to Christ. You've taken him as your personal Savior. This is not a religious event. This is a personal, relational giving of your heart. As David, a heart turned after God because he realized who his God was as a young shepherd. You might be here as a child of God in the overwhelming circumstances that you have. You realize that your obedience to God, he's leading you into greater conflict so he can show his greatness through you. If he did it with his own son on that painful cross, he'll do that for you today.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.